We were talking about domestic abuse on the programme today. As COVID-19 spread throughout the world, another pandemic was growing, hidden in the homes where we had been ordered to stay. Well, across the world, there has been a marked rise in the reports of domestic violence. And just today, an initiative which sees police officers responding to domestic abuse reports alongside a trained NHS domestic abuse specialist has now supported over 1,000 victims. Operation Provide was launched at the beginning of the pandemic when the advice was to isolate and stay at home with the aim of providing additional support to victims. You're going to be hearing a lot more about this with Sharon Hartley on the mid-morning programme tomorrow. But joining us now on the show is Rachel Horman-Brown. She's a director and solicitor and the head of the family department at Watson Ramsbottom Limited, and she specialises in cases of domestic abuse and stalking. Rachel, thank you so much for coming on the programme today. Before we talk about how many victims have been supported, let's talk about the pandemic. What kind of impact would you say this had on domestic abuse victims?
It's had a huge impact on victims, but I don't think it's fair to say that COVID has created victims of domestic abuse. We've had a problem with domestic abuse for a very long time, and we see a massive increase in domestic abuse at lots of different times, such as Christmas, the birth of a child, England playing football. It seems that it doesn't take much for domestic abuse statistics to go through the roof, but certainly COVID has made things more difficult for victims in that domestic abuse has increased, but also I think it's made it much more difficult during certainly the early days of COVID for victims to actually get out and access help. So I think that's been one of the main differences that we've seen.
Do you feel as though domestic abuse is often misunderstood in terms of what it is? For those who may not know, what is domestic abuse?
Yeah, I think it is misunderstood. I think most people would accept that, you know, if you see a woman with a black eye, then that is caused by a partner, then that would be domestic abuse. But it's much, much more than that. And coercive control, I would describe as being the essence of domestic abuse. And that behind those incidents of physical abuse, in every case I have dealt with, there's also been this underlying current of coercive control, emotional, psychological abuse that continues and prevents the victim from ever feeling safe enough to leave and totally controls every aspect of their life. Domestic abuse is not just physical, it might be sexual, it might be economic, so financial control, etc. And, you know, it's a repeat crime. It's not just a one-off incident. And generally, domestic abuse is something that happens between intimate partners or ex-intimate partners and sometimes family members.
There's been a massive increase in appeals for help over the past 18 months from those suffering domestic abuse. Are you surprised at all by this?
No, I'm not surprised by it because, like I say, I think that the conditions have been quite different in terms of victims feeling able to actually get help, and actually getting help has been quite difficult.
Yeah.
Victims felt initially that they couldn't phone the police, for example. I've spoken to a lot of women who would say, I don't want to waste the police's time, and I often hear that. You know, they're dealing with a pandemic. I don't feel important enough almost to waste their time. They felt that they couldn't leave their homes. If you're living with the person that's perpetrating this violence against you, how do you actually get help? And, you know, there have been lots of schemes launched and my firm launched an online chat service exactly for that reason. And a lot of services have done that, to enable victims to just send a message that wouldn't be retained on their phone to try and get some help. Because sometimes women aren't even allowed to go to the toilet on their own.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, they might only have a couple of minutes in a day where they can reach out and get help. So I think that's one of the reasons we have seen such an increase, because they've not been able to go out to work and access support from their work colleagues or even other mums at the school gate. So sometimes a helpline or a chat service is literally the only lifeline that they have.
So would you say that domestic abuse is a vastly underreported crime?
Yeah, hugely. You know, if you look at stalking, for example, which is what goes on after the end of a relationship, on average, a victim will have experienced 100 incidents before they even report it to the police. So, you know, for every report that we receive, it really is the tip of the iceberg. Mm-hmm. And the Crime Service for England and Wales estimated that only about 20% of domestic abuse incidents were reported to the police.
Gosh.
So the vast, vast majority of this domestic abuse is never going anywhere near the police. And that's why it's so, so important that when victims do pluck up the courage to reach out to a service like the police, that it is taken extremely seriously, that it isn't just seen as a one-off, and that the police spend the time to actually look at what else has been happening in the past, because I can pretty much guarantee that it won't just be a one-off and that there will be lots of other things in the background. And unless the police get the full picture, they can't join the dots up to see, you know, what the risk factor is in that situation.
What can be done then to encourage more victims to come forward and report the crime?
I think, you know, the more publicity we can get out there, making it clear that domestic abuse isn't just about physical incidents, for example. You know, I still speak to lots of women that believe that, you know, there is no such criminal offence as rape, for example, when you're married to the person that's committing this against you, even though it has been a criminal offence since 1993. So, you know, there's still a lot of misconceptions out there. But I think the biggest thing we can do to improve public confidence, really, is actually to give victims a better service. And I still think that, unfortunately, in far too many cases, when women do report incidents of domestic abuse to the police, it isn't dealt with as well as it could be, and then that puts them off reporting in the future.
Yeah, you spoke about services just then. I mean, back in March, if you remember, Chancellor Rishi Sunak announced in his budget that domestic abuse schemes in England and Wales will receive an extra £19 million from the government over the next 2 years. Sounds like a lot of money, but is that enough?
No, nowhere near enough. And these services have been chronically underfunded for years and years. You know, and that's on the need previously, when we can see that the need has actually increased dramatically through lockdown, then it gets nowhere near. And if we look at what domestic abuse costs the country, so just never mind about the emotional impact on victims and their families, which is bad enough, obviously, let's just look at the economic cost. Domestic abuse costs us as taxpayers £66 billion every year. So when you compare what it costs to, you know, the drop in the ocean that the government is adding into it, it's not going to touch the sides, is it? There needs to be much more funding given to tackle this. And if we do dedicate funds and, you know, change our attitudes towards it, then hopefully we've got a chance of reducing it and, you know, saving people's lives and also saving the country money.
Yeah, absolutely. Rachel, stay with us. A lot more to talk about. I want to talk about the wider issues of women's safety in the wake of Sarah Everard and Sabina Nessa, who were both murdered. We're speaking to Rachel Horman-Brown on the programme today about domestic abuse and women's issues. Johnny Hates Jazz, Shattered Dreams on BBC Radio Lancashire. Nish with you this Tuesday afternoon. And we're speaking to Rachel Horman-Brown, director and solicitor and the head of the family department at Watson Ramsbottom Limited, who specialises in cases of domestic abuse and stalking. Rachel, let's now talk about women's safety, because in the wake of Sarah Everard and Sabina Nesser, who were both murdered, social media has been ablaze with tales of street harassment and instances of sexual assault, making it very clear that male violence against women is still a massive, massive issue. So let's talk about that now. I mean, how do women feel when they're out and about, would you say, that could, you know, on a night out or maybe walking with friends on the street, or even walking home from work as well. You know, what is it about this? You know, what needs to be done?
Well, you know, we always talk about this, that it's a women's issue. And actually, I would disagree with that. It's got nothing to do with women. It's a man's issue. And, you know, you'll get, whenever you say that, people will say, well, not all men, and you're sexist and all of that, and you can't even have the discussion. But the fact of the matter is, and there's no getting away from this, that the vast majority of cases that we are talking about are committed by men against women. And until we're able to have that discussion and accept that as a fact, and then put the onus on men changing their behaviour rather than constantly expecting women to change their behaviour, as though wearing a short skirt or having had alcohol or walking back on a street where there's a street light out, as though that is what's causing the violence and the rapes.
Yeah.
That isn't what's causing it. It's men that's causing it. And I think we need to really concentrate on changing that kind of toxic masculine culture that we have, because this is the, you know, this is what can happen from it. And it's not a good thing for men or women.
Let me ask you then, you and I are both women. Do you feel safe when you're out and about in the dark, on your own, on the way home from work? Have you ever been harassed?
Yeah, I've been harassed. I don't know any women really that haven't been. I think it almost becomes a fact of life that we expect it to happen, which is totally wrong. And it's only when you start thinking about how we behave that you realise how much you do change your own behaviour. You know, how when you're walking along, you have something in your hand that could be used as a weapon if needed.
Yeah.
You know, people say that they hold their car keys in a certain way or whatever. We have our mobile phones ready. And we have all of these plan A, plan B, plan C's in our mind. Well, if somebody comes out there, I can get out here, or I won't get in that lift, I'll take the stairs. And we really shouldn't have to have any of these thoughts. And when I discuss this with men are, you know, incredulous, really, that women go through all of these plans in their head, because they very rarely do that.
Do you carry things in your hand? Do you plan your route?
Yeah, I've done that. I think every woman does it almost unconsciously when you're walking along, and particularly if a man is walking behind you, then I think you feel much more uncomfortable than if it was a woman walking behind you. And sometimes, you know, I think sometimes men are aware of that. And sometimes, you know, I've heard men admit that they've done that knowing that it has intimidated women, you know, and that's obviously something that's not acceptable.
What needs to happen then? What needs to change, would you say?
Men's behaviour needs to change. You know, like I say, repairing the odd light bulb on a street is not going to change men who seem to enjoy going out there and harassing and sometimes attacking, raping, murdering women. And until we can change that, then nothing really is going to change for women. And I get fed up of hearing all of these initiatives which put the onus on women to change their behaviour. You know, make sure you've got a tracker on your phone so that, you know, we can see where you are at all times, and make sure you cover your drink when you're in a pub. Make sure you're not on your own when you walk home. we never hear about anything restricting men's life, even though it is men that are causing this particular problem. And I think that's what we need to look at. I think we need to be changing the behaviour of young men at a very early stage, and making them realise that harassment isn't acceptable. And, you know, even the low level kind of behaviour makes girls and women feel uncomfortable and can get out of hand and quickly lead to much worse instances.
Let's talk about the nationwide movement, Girls Night In. It's in response to Sarah Everard, Sabina Nesser and all the spiking. Will that make a difference, do you reckon?
No, I don't think it will. You know, I do think, you know, publicising some of these things and making people realise, you know, the extent of what women are having to put up with is a good thing. But I just think that what we need is to take this issue far more seriously and to treat it far more seriously. And unfortunately, you know, the statistics in terms of when women do report incidents of harassment or even rape to the police, very few of those ever make it to court. And when you compare our statistics in England and Wales against the rest of Europe and even the majority of the world, we are right at the bottom of the league table in terms of that. So, you know, why would any woman be confident in reporting rape in England and Wales when the chances of having a successful prosecution are tiny, and you will have to go through a horrendous experience through the criminal justice system? You know, until we change that, men can see that they can effectively get away with rape in the vast majority of cases. So I do think we need to tackle this at the heart of it, rather than, you know, lots of little campaigns, etc., around the edges. We need to really make a big difference to women.
Before you go then, it's been announced that plain clothes officers in London, this is in London by the way, are to video call colleagues for identity verification when stopping a lone woman. Do you think that's a step in the right direction?
I think the fact that this is even being suggested just shows how very little confidence there is in the police. And it's almost suggesting that women should be scared of the police, and that, you know, the police as an entity may well harm you. I think that's an awful situation. I think the police do have a problem in dealing with crimes against women. And at the moment, you know, I've been saying this for years, at the moment there is a focus on it, mainly focused on the Met Police, but I deal with cases all over England and Wales, and I can show you hundreds of cases that involve every single police force in the land where they've dealt with these cases in a terrible manner. So, again, I think we shouldn't need to do that. What we should do is have a situation where the police change their attitude and the way that they deal with crimes that affect predominantly women, and that they deal with them better, and that the courts hand out robust sentences to protect women so that they have confidence in the system. But the fact is, women don't have any confidence in the system, and there's a good reason for that.
Okay, Rachel, pleasure speaking to you. Thank you so much. That's Rachel Horman-Brown, director and solicitor and the head of the family department at Watson Ramsons Limited, who specialises in cases of domestic violence and stalking. Start your day.